Hey, we're back. Welcome to Scrambled Eggs here on Crack Sidewalks, everyone, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Phil, do you remember how to do this?
I was going to ask you if you could give me some pointers on how this podcasting thing works.
Yeah, sorry for the hiatus, everyone. You know, as they say, life gets in the way for a while. And we, I guess we went a week or so without doing a podcast. And, you know, considering the team hasn't won, like one game in the last month, maybe you weren't itching to hear our opinions on it that much. But, you know, we're still going to ride this out with the team, Phil. We're just going to talk about what's going on.
And to be super positive, that one win was against a team that may be a bigger dumpster fire than we are.
Yeah. Free-falling Seton Hall is just a total mess, and now they're, like, punching people. And we don't need to talk about Seton Hall. We're going to talk about Marquette today. We're going to talk about, you know, what's up with the team. Maybe, you know, not so much game to game as we have been doing all season, because I think, you know, most people are kind of seeing the end is near for this season, but maybe look forward
blessedly
to
so.
In the future. Yeah, I think, you know, not to, you know, I don't mean to, like, talk down about the kids who are playing for Marquette right now, because I know they're doing their best, but the fact is, Phil, I mean, they're just not a very good team. I mean, they are. It is a 50-50 proposition right now that they finish in last place, which even with the low expectations we had coming to the end of the season is still pretty disappointing.
Yeah, you know, and there were moments where you had just a glimmer of hope. You know, you think back to the Orlando Classic, you kind of went, maybe this team can put something together. And, you know, there was an early win against Providence, and we were extremely competitive in the first month and a half of the conference season. Even though we weren't winning, we were, you know, it was last second possessions all the way. And we seem to, now granted, Mr. Carlino has been out because he apparently knocked his brains right out of his head with that fall against Villanova. So he's been out. So, you know, eight strong has become seven strong, but, yeah, it's just been a somewhat depressing last month or so.
Yeah. The thing that's frustrating, I know, for the team, as you mentioned, you know, early in Big East play, all those close losses, they're still losses. And when you have multiple, they pile up and all of a sudden you blink and you're 3-10. And that's the thing, you know, I know that team's probably sitting in the locker room and they're going to practice every day thinking we are not a 3-10 team, but the fact is they are a 3-10 team,
right?
And you know, maybe some of that's not their fault, with the injury to Carlino, but you know, when you look at it, that only cost them two losses. Their one win the last month was without Carlino.
Yeah.
And you know, there were some close games. It sucks that they lose those, but they did lose them. And yeah, like I said, the losses have piled up, and a lot of teams in the Big East have turned out to be better than we thought. Butler is way better than I thought they would be. You know, their coach there is he should probably be the conference coach of the year, actually.
Absolutely.
And then you know, Xavier is better than I thought. You know, DePaul, got to give it to him. DePaul is better than I thought. And you know, that's probably the toughest thing about this whole thing, Phil, is Marquette has been looking up at DePaul all season.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that for a while, but thank you for ruining everything.
Well, you know, I think when I think about it, what am I most frustrated about? It's that.
Yeah.
And the fact that Marquette had DePaul in that first Big East game and absolutely should have won that game, and the teams have gone I wouldn't say totally opposite directions, because not like DePaul is running away with the conference or anything. But I think that really kind of started a free fall for Marquette and gave DePaul some confidence.
Well, I guess here's the question I would ask you and maybe the audience at large. So if you look at the record, we did talk, you know, we've said that there was a couple of games we missed. Let's say at DePaul and, either Xavier or Georgetown or St. John's.
Yeah.
Any one of those games, let's say those two of those games are wins, and we're now 5-8. Do we really feel good about the team, or is the team everything else being the same, you know, if they're 5-8 instead of 3-10, do we feel better about the team, or is it still just a bad team?
Yeah, I think if the team were, say, if we're 5-8 or 6-7 right now, I think that would be in line with what the expectations were realistically heading into conference play. Because I think most realistic expectations heading in, Phil, we kind of pegged them between 6 and at the most 9 conference wins.
Right.
You know, that's kind of where we had it. It was like 500, maybe a little lower. But, and so, yeah, you say take some, like, the blown lead against DePaul, if Carlino's foot was a half inch back against Georgetown, and what was another game? They blew a lead against Xavier, I think. Yep. Was another one. Yeah. So say if you can get those three back, yeah, I think then they'd be on track for that 7 or 8 wins, because you still got home games with St. John's and DePaul that you would hope you could win. But as I've said many times, one of my favorite quotes throughout there is, you are what you are, and you lose those games, you're a 3-10 team. And I guess the people, what the question maybe people are asking themselves, maybe two things, Phil. One, what is the problem? And two, is this really concerning for next year, or are we still kind of giving this team a pass and like, look, transition year, you're going to hit reset next year when Ellenson shows up?
Well, I think the answer to the first one is the issue is two parts. One is depth, and two is, I think, you know, everyone gets caught up in rating services and the numbers of stars. I think there is a limitation on talent on this mm-hmm. team.
It sounds harsh to say, but it honestly is true. You look at Dwayne Wilson and Luke Fisher could play for a lot, just about anyone, really. I mean, I think they're both really good players, but you go past that, and I think it's just kind of a lot of okay players, you know? And again, it feels like I'm really knocking our guys here, but the fact is there's just not a lot of go-to talent. And guys, you know, there are so many guys who show flashes of great talent, but there's just really no one outside of maybe Dwayne that it gives you consistent great effort, not effort, but great results night after night. And I'd say probably Carlino's in that mix too, because when he's healthy, he's actually been pretty good.
Well, and even Dwayne had a couple of games there where he slumped. I think the other thing is there's a, and maybe talent isn't the right word, but the other part of it is it's a lack of experience and runtime at this kind of level. I mean, we have to put in perspective, Dwayne Wilson is doing what he's doing, having never played a season of college basketball before, and is putting up big numbers. Luke Fisher has not played a full season yet. This is technically his first, or if you count what he did at Indiana for 6-7 games. And I think that's reflected. I mean, I'm not picking on Luke too badly here, but Luke's got talent, but he also plays soft. You know, one of the biggest complaints I've had with him in the conference season is it's almost like he hesitates waiting for someone to come over before he makes a move. He's going to learn, I just got to make the move right away and, you know, make them adjust to me, not the other way around.
Yeah, when he catches the ball 10 feet away from the basket, he's not going anywhere.
Right. I don't know how many times he's caught the ball under the hoop and kind of paused there for half a second and then decided to go up to the rim. And by then, the protectors have gotten over, making the job that much harder. That he's going to learn with, you know, getting this game experience under his belt and then having an off season to work on it. Juwan Johnson. I mean, he got a lot of DNPs last year. So, do you really count last year's season as much experience? He's getting experience this season. Yeah. The only players that have, you know, real significant primetime experience are Carlino, and he's, you know, kind of proving it, and Derek Wilson, who is what he is. I mean, yeah. Derek, we shouldn't be giving him 35 minutes, but I don't know what else to do at this point.
Oh, especially sure. I mean, with Carlino out. Somebody's got to play the point, and a guy with as good as assist to turnover ratio as Derek is as good as anyone when you're in that situation. I think with regards to the problem with this team, I think – I forget who it was. It was like Tim or Rob or somebody with Crack Sidewalks who was running the Twitter page. He said the problem with Marquette is the talented players aren't experienced enough and the experienced players aren't talented enough.
Yeah, I think that's spot on.
You know, like the players who are really talented and could probably really be something, Dwayne, Luke, Juwan Johnson, Sandy Cohen, all could really be really good Big East players, but none of them are truly there yet. I mean, definitely none of them are at their ceiling, that's for sure.
Right.
I mean, they can all grow, and I think even they would admit that. They all have room to grow. And then you look at the experienced guys, Derek Wilson, Juan Anderson, Steve Taylor, nice players, not elite players. And they're just kind of nice pieces. And like on most teams around the country, they would be role players. But, you know, they're kind of forced into several minutes at Marquette. And, you know, they do the best they can and they contribute pretty well. But, you know, it's not enough to win you 10 or 11 games in this Big East.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's what we always kind of said this season was going to be, is get some runtime with the players and get some experience under the belt, so they're in a much better position to be successful next season when you've got more depth and more talent. And I think the thing we forget, and we touched on the fact that we were in a lot of close games, you know, the Villanova game where Carlino went down with his head exploding, that was the first game where they were really not competitive. And then
that was the first game where you just like, we have no chance, you know, just shut it down.
Right. And then after that, Carlino was out every game after that. So you can make the argument that, you know, this team doesn't they reflect their record, but they don't reflect how their record has piled up in the last 3 weeks. I think when you get Carlino back, now unfortunately it's against Villanova, but I think for the last five games, they should be very competitive again because they'll be back to a full eight.
You would hope, yeah. I mean, there's no official word as we're recording this anyway of Carlino's status, but he seemed like he was really close to playing against Creighton. He made the trip, so he was on the flight.
Well, so yeah, the fact that he flew there and was in the stadium for the game is very good, because if you're going through the concussion protocol, you can't even be at the game because, you know, you might spasm.
So yeah, now with a full week off, I would hope Carlino could at least give you some minutes on Saturday against Villanova. So, and you know, like you said, he will help. But Phil, like, as you know, again, not that we're quote unquote giving up, but to be realistic, keeping it 100, as the kids like to say, Marquette is not going to be in any postseason play. I mean, They would have to win four out of their last five games, plus one game in the Big East tournament, to finish at 500, which is what you need to play in a postseason tournament.
That would be awesome, but you know, ain't no way that's happening.
Yeah, so I mean, so with respect to that, barring a miracle in New York where Marquette wins four games in 4 days, there's not going to be any postseason play. So so that's why I kind of wanted to clarify what I meant. But for all intents and purposes, this season is just about over because There will be no postseason play. So with that in mind, what kind of changes would you like to see, if any, in the last five games as far as lineups, playing time, strategy, anything you would like to see differently over these last five regular season games?
Well, again, this is all assuming Carlino's back, because if Carlino's back, you know, you can go eight strong and you can have a touch of depth. What I would like to see is, I would like to, maybe max minutes isn't the right word, but I would like to see extended time where four out of the five players on the court are what I would term next year players. I would like to see Steve Taylor playing in his maybe more natural position of the four, or even a stretch three. I'd like to see Luke Fisher getting time with Steve Taylor. And then, you know, you're going to have Carlino on the floor, because that's what we missed was the three-point threat. So have Carlino on the floor, and then have Dwayne Wilson and some combination of Sandy Cohen and Trey J on the court. And get those guys that are going to be together next year, get them some runtime and see if they're, you know, if there's a nucleus of something there, you know.
Yeah.
Nine, 10
I get what you're saying, you know, because obviously you play to win the game. So, I mean, Wojo's still going to be sending out the lineup that he feels gives him the best chance to win every game the rest of the way. But I kind of agree. I do agree with what you're saying. You know, a few more minutes for the guys who are going to be back wouldn't be bad, you know, just to get those guys used to playing with each other a little bit more, because I mean that is going to be the nucleus you're going with, because obviously Henry Ellenson and Hanif Cheatham and Matt Held are on the way, but you know, aside from Ellenson, I'm not sure how much any newcomers are going to play. We're going to talk about scholarships here in a little bit, but obviously you're going to need significant minutes and significant contributions from all those guys you mentioned: Dwayne, Juwan, Sandy Cohen, Steve Taylor, Luke Fisher, if Marquette's going to make the tournament next year. So yeah, I'm not saying bench Derek Wilson, Matt Carlino, and Juan Anderson entirely, but shave a few minutes here and there and give them to some younger guys. I wouldn't hate it.
Well, and do you have any concerns, or do you think it's a bad move? If, you know, obviously I put Carlino in a separate category, because he's definitely 100% one of the top five contributors on the team. You know, you can make a case for Juan and Derek contributing in their own way, obviously, but But would you have an issue with depriving the seniors, if you will, and presumably your leaders some extra minutes to get the young guys some run?
Yeah, you know, that's a touchy thing, because I would feel bad, because like I said, I don't want to bench those guys, especially during their last two home games when they're playing St. John's and DePaul. You know, I'd like to play them plenty then. Just, you know, like I said, the season's over, so it probably doesn't matter that much. But like I said, you know, if those guys play, you know, 25 minutes instead of 30, and you know, you divide it up, you know, among the younger guys a little bit more, I wouldn't have too much of an issue with that, because you know, it is kind of time to start looking at next year. Now, maybe when they get to the Big East tournament, you play to win.
Right.
You know, yeah, I mean, you play, and maybe with regards to that, maybe you still prep for the Big East tournament by still playing your seniors as much as possible. Not that I'm thinking out loud. So, and with that respect, because ultimately, you know, these guys are still trying to make the NCAA tournament, as crazy and far-fetched as that seems to all of us, you know, that's their mindset. And so they're doing the best, whatever they can, to prep to win 4 games in 4 days in New York.
Well,
so maybe,
and
with regards to that, the best thing is to just play the best team every night and then worry about next year.
And we're not going to get into it necessarily here, but the way the standings look, being the 10 seed would not be horrible.
Yeah. The thing is, there's probably not that much difference, really, between 9 and 10, because you're either looking at free fall in Seton Hall or DePaul in that first game.
Yeah, it's the ones after that. If you want to avoid Villanova...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay, yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's after that first game where depending on how the brackets break down, the 10-seed side of the bracket seems... But, again, that can be later.
So it's time to tank, is what you're saying.
Right. What I'm saying is use the next 5 games to learn what you've got and then be prepared, you know, be prepared to make a deep run in the Big East tournament and spoil some at-large bids for some people. Who knows? But what would you change? What are you looking to make different?
You know, honestly, to be honest, the thing is, I probably had a different opinion 5 minutes ago, but when I thought out loud about the Big East tournament and ultimately, the goal is to just make the tournament, even as ridiculous as it sounds. I think you play to win every night. And I think I've changed my opinion since we started this podcast. I would change very little. And I would just put the guys out there, you know, ride the hot hand. If somebody catches fire or starts shooting well or having a good game, you ride that guy. But I would probably shy away from just playing young guys for the sake of playing young guys in next year. I think you still play to win every game, even if you're the underdog in every single one, because ultimately the season's going to come down to New York. So I think you have to prep for that. So I think you know, you still throw Derek and Carlino and Juan, and you just throw whoever's playing well out there, and you just try to win every game. So
in your opinion, right now, the backcourt of Derek, Carlino, and maybe Dwayne is the best way to go, as opposed to Dwayne, Carlino, and Trey J or Sandy.
Honestly,
maximum minutes.
For the sake of trying to win the games, yeah. I do. So I would play the seniors. Play whoever has the hot hand. I would love for Juwan Johnson to, you know, explode for a 20-25 point game and say give us reason to play him a lot.
Right.
But, you know, again, he's a guy who shows flashes and not so much consistency. And so I'd love to see it. But.
Yeah, I think the one thing that's over, and maybe this is the transition into the scholarship situation, but the one thing we've got to figure out, and I would like to see the next 5 games do it, is we got to figure out if Dwayne Wilson is going to be a point guard on this team for the next couple of years, or if he's just going to be a situational point guard and predominantly a two guard.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, is he going to be Shabazz Napier kind of point guard, a guy who dominates the ball but is very effective, or is he going to be better off the ball, and is he going to need a guy next to him to play the point? And of course, you know, you're talking about the scholarship situation. I'm sure everyone knows by now. One of Marquette's top recruits, Nick Niskowiak, who's from Sun Prairie, has decommitted. He's been released from his national letter of intent. Weird situation that I really don't want to get into too much, because I really don't know the facts there. But the facts are this. He left Sun Prairie High School briefly, said he was battling depression. He said that on Twitter. Then he took that down. Then he said it was an abusive home situation that he was getting away from, and since then, the relationship between Marquette and Niskoviac has deteriorated to the point that they mutually agreed to part ways. Everything I said there is factual. Right. What exactly happened, I don't know what's going on in the kid's life. I hope he gets it together, but obviously it's not going to happen at Marquette. So good luck to whatever happens with Nick, but the fact is that leaves Marquette really without a true point guard for next year, and that's concerning.
Well, and we were already prior to this decommit, which, yeah, I have to applaud you. You tap danced around that better than I thought you were capable of.
Well, thanks.
Given your build,
I think I can put the words together.
Yeah. you know, point guard was going to be an issue next year no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was some argument to be made that Niskoviac wasn't going to project to a point guard at the college level anyway. Be that as it may, it now becomes absolutely critical. So we're now at, we had three scholarships prior to the Niskoviac decommit. We're now at four scholarships. So what becomes absolutely critical, even if Dwayne Wilson is the point guard of the future, you've got to have a veteran point guard on this team next year.
You know, Dwayne's not going to play 40 minutes a night.
Right.
I mean, you need somebody else to bring up the ball when, you know, when he needs a blow or when he's in foul trouble or when he's struggling.
Right.
Hopefully that doesn't happen too much. But, you know, like I said, Dwayne is not going to play 40 minutes a game next year. So, yeah, point guard, and I don't know if it's going to be junior college, if it's going to be a graduate transfer. The tough part on graduate transfers, there is really no way to project who that's going to be.
Right.
As opposed to like looking at a recruiting list, if you're looking for freshmen for next year, like, oh, okay, well, this guy's available, that guy's available, oh, that guy's available, and he's from Wisconsin. They should go after him.
Right.
But no, you know, there is no way to know who's going to be available point guard-wise. But I'm sure, you know, Wojciechowski is kind of monitoring the situation and looking around the country at guys who are – juniors or seniors who would have a year of eligibility left, and maybe, you know, I don't know if coaches do this, but maybe there's a way through back channels you can talk to people and say, you know, is this kid going to be available? Is he going to graduate? Is this a guy we can go after? Or if that, or is that just something that is sprung on you in April? Like, oh, he's out there.
I don't know
how that works, but I am absolutely certain, you know, just based on logic, that Wojciechowski is going to go after a point guard somewhere.
If not two, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe two. Yeah, like a guard, a true point guard and a combo guard would not be bad.
All right, because you're going to have to get either a JUCO or a grad student point guard, and maybe two of them. Again, this depends on if Dwayne Wilson is playing off the ball or not in Wojo's kind of scheme. If he's playing off, you have to have two. Now, there's been some rumblings that maybe Hanif Cheatham he's got enough talent to play the point guard position, which would be intriguing given his height and skill set. But even if he projects to be a point guard in college, that's going to take at least 2 years to get him there. I mean, he doesn't play point guard now. So, you know, if you're going to win next year, you've got to get two point guards in, I would think, at a minimum with the scholarships we have. And then,
see, that's the thing. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the thing that's the pressure is on to win next year, because you may only get 1 year out of Henry Ellenson. I mean, this is a guy who is projected as a lottery pick in 2016. I don't know for sure that he's going to be a one and done, but that is a distinct possibility.
Right.
So from that perspective, Wojo needs to load up for next year and you know, try to get to not just the tournament, but try to win a couple games.
Because if
Henry Ellenson's a one and done, I don't know if you've got another Henry Ellenson coming in the next class.
Right. Well, not only that, but now I say this with a grain of salt, because to be honest, and I say this as a Marquette fan, we Marquette fans are clearly spoiled, because there is all sorts of rumblings and dissatisfaction and quite frankly, low attendance at some of the games this year. We've had two relatively down years in a row, you know, for the sake of building the program, we definitely need next year to be good. But
right.
we've been spoiled, quite frankly, for the last probably decade and a half, and it's kind of reflected in the fan base. So Wojo really needs to kind of take next year and turn it into. I don't think it's a must win scenario kind of thing, but I think to really get some credibility and to keep some of the pitchforks in closets, I think next year is a critical season for him.
He can't finish ninth next year.
No, I don't think he can finish in the bottom half next year.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you're getting an NBA player. You know, whether Henry Ellenson is an NBA player in 1 year or three or four, or, you know, he's an NBA player. He's going to boost the talent overall. So that's why I think the pressure is on Wojo to get veteran players to make that run next year, and then you worry about 2016 after, you know, these guys graduate and leave. But you have to get the most out of your what may only be 1 year with Henry Ellenson. So yeah, the pressure's on to win next year, and that's why I think everyone has given, for the most part, Wojo a pass this year. I think most sensible people did not expect to win, even though I think a lot of people probably expected more than 3 wins in conference play, and maybe that's disappointing. I still think most sensible people have been patient, say, look, you know, this stinks, but we know what you've got coming in next year, and so hopefully there is a huge step forward next year. Like, I'm not talking about Final Four, but, you know, that would be nice, but he's got to make the tournament,
right?
And so hopefully he gets the pieces. So I as much as I think Ellenson's gonna and the other kids are gonna be a nice boost, he needs a little more. They need that veteran point guard, and I think a little more size to back up Luke Fisher would not be a bad thing either, to help in that front court, because I really there's no position where I would say no at this point, because I think at every position you could find a way to fit a guy in there and say, all right, that helps the team.
Right. Yeah. I think obviously, like I said, we need 2 point guards coming in. We need an activity rebounder. I have been encouraged when I see, when, you know, especially against Creighton, it looked like Steve and Luke playing together. Steve had a bit of the old Steve Taylor kind of look to him that I always wanted to see again. So maybe Steve playing in his normal 4 position, maybe he's got some of that activity and he can be that action rebounder we need. But we need somebody of size that can be active on the boards to kind of come in and spell 10-15 minutes. Maybe yeah. That's a freshman, maybe it's another JUCO. But I think from a class balance standpoint, I think at a minimum you're looking at 2 out of the 4, maybe 3 out of the 4 being either 2-year JUCOs or 1-year grad students.
Yeah, and I balancing out the classes wouldn't be a bad thing. And I think for the sake of experience, to, like I said, you need experienced players if Marquette's going to make a run next year and get into the tournament. So yeah, I am absolutely expecting. And the thing is, Wojo said after, you know, his comments after Niskowiak's commitment, he says we've got 3 guys committed and they're not going to be alone. You know, obviously he can't tell you who he's recruiting because that's against NCAA rules. He can't say who he's going after, but he has been tweeting that he's been out on the road recruiting this week.
So, well, and we've got an unofficial visit coming in.
Yeah, I hope I'm saying it right. Sakar Anim, who is a shooting guard from Minneapolis, plays at De La Salle High School there. He's a 6'4", 2-guard. So he is apparently visiting Marquette this week. And he, I think it's been reported that he does have an offer from Marquette. So I think Wojo and the guys are probably going to try and seal the deal this week. Probably give Jabari Parker a call and see if he wants to, you know, limp
hang
over
out,
to the
Al stop by.
Yeah, just limp over to the Al McGuire Center. He's not playing a game or anything right now. Poor Jabari.
Ouch.
I love Jabari, but it sucks. But he's one of my favorite players too. But yeah, but yeah, I'm sure he'll just ask Jabari if he wants to be casually hanging out at the Al McGuire Center on Wednesday, and you know. As Anonymous Eagle has said, back up the ice cream truck and see if he could close the deal on another recruit.
So. Well, and there's been some folks I've talked to who are like, well, you know, he doesn't seem like he's a high riser. He's only 3 stars. I think one of the things, again, if you're not looking at a point guard or a big guy, you know, an older big guy, you've got 1 or 2 scholarships that you can, I don't want to say take flyers on, but you can use 1 or 2 scholarships on players that may not have an impact immediately, but
right.
2 or 3 years down the road, they're a very quality contributor. And I think right now that's what Amin looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. Not everybody can play 30 minutes a night.
Right.
Hopefully this kid, if he does commit to Marquette, it could accept a small role as a freshman. And who knows, if he can play the point and if he can shoot, he might have a huge role as a freshman. But we'll see how he fits in, and maybe that'll be something to monitor over the course of the week.
You know what I was thinking we need is when we were talking about JUCO big man, we need to see if Robert Jackson can clone himself and come back for a year.
Wouldn't that be marvelous?
That would be, I'm telling you, that would be the exact, other than a point guard, obviously. Maybe we can dress Dean up in a way.
I would settle for a clone of Trent Blackledge.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, just any kind of active presence on the boards, shot blocker, rebounder, just a guy who could spell Luke Fisher, maybe push him a little bit in practice. Because I don't know that much about Helt, and I don't know how much of a contributor he'll be as a freshman, but as the roster projects now, he'll have to be a contributor as a freshman.
Well, I don't like missing any opportunity to throw stones at previous administrations, but man, that Jameel McKay transfer is looking really, really deadly right now. Could you imagine McKay on this roster this year and next year?
That is such a bitter point for me, because every time I watch Iowa State play, I am just so angry and so jealous, thinking, gosh, how great would Jameel McKay have been at Marquette? Because he would be like, he is so active and he is so dang good, and now I'm just getting angry thinking about it. But yeah, if we could get a Jameel McKay at Marquette for next year, a player like him, that would be absolutely perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be the right thing. So, but yeah, like I said, previous administration, you know, and that's part of why Wojo.
I'll never understand what happened there, really, because that was such a weird thing. Because he was at Marquette Madness, and 2 days later, he's like, you know what, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
so bizarre.
There was a combination of people in his ear and some. To put it politely, I will go with some poor leadership out of the coaching staff, I think, on that one.
But I will say this. If the NBA wants to hire Fred Hoiberg away from Iowa State, I would not hate it.
No, it would be great. Well, it is turning into Marquette South. I mean, are there any chances that Nick Nastowiak ends up at Iowa State?
Would you be shocked?
No, I think I'm
expecting that any day now, to be honest with you. But, yeah, like it's been – because it's been two players in 2 years and three players in seven if you go back to Scott Kristofferson.
Yep.
And so, you know, like I haven't seen that Iowa State has reached out to Nastowiak, but if that happens, that would be three in 2 years, which would be crazy. But, yeah, I'm getting tired of Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah.
But one thing I do want to wrap up with, Phil, is I want to encourage everyone to enjoy National Marquette Day. It sounds like a silly thing to people outside of the Marquette community, but to us, I think it's kind of a fun, cool thing. Great, nice day to gather with Marquette alumni, whether you are in Milwaukee. If you are in Milwaukee, I hope you can go to the game. It sounds like the game's almost a sellout, Phil, which is good.
Which is, given the consternation around the program, is pretty impressive.
So if you are in Milwaukee and can get tickets, I would encourage you to go to the game, wear gold, be loud, and just try to pull these guys past what would be a monumental upset. That's what would be so great about it, if Marquette could stunningly beat Villanova. Because obviously they're not going to have any tournament play, but that would be the one win they could hang their hat on and just say, hell yeah, we did that.
Well, right, and that's one of those program builders where, as players, you maybe, you know, the psychological impact is, you know, we are good enough. We can do this. We just need to, you know, get our heads in the game and pull it all together. So that
they can look in the mirror and say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like
you know what we need is, speaking of, we need Matt Foley to show up and go into the locker room and just start yelling about living in a van down by the river.
I missed Chris Farley during that SNL special.
Oh, I kudos to Melissa McCarthy. She did the hell of a job, but it's
it was
just
a good effort,
same.
But yeah, it still wasn't Chris. But yeah, we missed Chris Farley. But last note on National Marquette Day, if you are not in Milwaukee, if you are in some other part of the country, like, you know, Texas, go to your local
who would live in Texas?
Smart people.
Oh,
that's
fine.
Who. People with affordable real estate. But yes, but you know, there are Marquette alumni groups all around the country. They all have watch parties. Go online, mu.edu, go to the alumni section. You can find if there's a watch party in your area. It's a great chance if you haven't done that. It's a fun, I can speak from experience, it's a fun opportunity to meet Marquette alums in your area. You might be surprised how many Marquette alums live where you do if you're not in Milwaukee or Chicago. And, you know, they have fundraisers for the local scholarships. Like for us down here in Dallas, it's the Marquette North Texas Scholarship. And so there's fundraising and, you know, it's just a great chance to connect. So I would encourage you to enjoy National Marquette Day wherever you are, either at a watch party or just go to the games.
Plus you can get together with people and have somebody else to complain about how many minutes Derek Wilson's getting with.
Yeah, I know. You can just, you know, gripe about the team with somebody besides me and Phil, which would probably be very enjoyable to you.
Right. It's got to be a step up, right?
It has to be. It has to be. Well, as always, we want to thank everybody for listening. Sorry for the delay. Hopefully, we'll keep doing this weekly until the season ends. But, you know, hopefully we'll have a nice strong finish here, both on the court and on the podcast. But as always, you can check us out on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOF23. You can hit up the team page at Crack Sidewalks. You can hit us up on Facebook. That is where the Scrambled Eggs podcasts are posted. Of course, it's on iTunes, so you can download it. Take it with you wherever you go. I think that's everything, Phil.
Yeah, I think we covered it all. There's nothing
more. All right, so again, have a happy National Marquette Day, Phil.
Same to you, Joe.
All right. And to all of you out there, have a great National Marquette Day. Seashells and balloons, everyone.